You are listening to sermons from Bethesda Lutheran Church. This Sunday was Youth Sunday, and Pastor Tom preached from Genesis chapter 2, and the youth shared stories from their trips this summer.
The good news, according to Genesis, beginning in the second chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven, count the stars, if you're even able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Thanks for stretching. We have been going through the Old Testament this fall, one week in, but last week we had Adam and Eve, and I do want to point out, you probably have one of these that fell out of your bulletin. These inserts are here every week. They kind of help fill in the gaps between Sundays. We left Adam and Eve, and then today we end up with Abraham. So we skip a few stories in there as we just take some of the highlights. But I encourage you to use these at home to fill in the gaps or to have some questions to consider. But today's story with Abraham, it's so perfect for a youth Sunday. You know, when we think about how God's blessings come to us, our first gift from God is the family that we're born into. But, and, often it's our family where we first experience the curse, the consequence of brokenness, the realities of sin. The family can be the first blessing in a person's life, and it can be the first place where you experience that hardship, that anxiety, that division. Abraham waited decades for one of these. He waited, he trusted, he broke trust, and he tried to have a kid the old-fashioned way. And he had a slave child, a child through a slave girl. And eventually, God's promise came true, and Isaac was born. And Isaac's name simply means laughter. Because by that point, Abraham and Sarah said, okay, if you think we're going to be able to bend over 90 years old and pick up this kid when he's crying, we'll keep laughing. But the gift came. And I'm teaching a class right now. We had our first session this morning. It'd be really easy to pick it up next week. We're talking about love and sex, if that's an interesting topic. But with my class, it's so easy. The gifts God gives us, the blessings God gives us, from high school seniors to middle school people who just entered freshman year, the gifts of children of any age, it's so easy to make even the best of gifts into an idol and to make them the center of our life. Even the best of things, even a good thing, we have a way of controlling it too tightly. God made us in our image. And sometimes we're prone to take the best gifts God has and try to make them into your own image. You will be a duck. You will. Right? And in Abraham's life, if you read Genesis chapter 22 this week, you might read the most objectionable story in the whole Bible. Because Abraham is put into a situation where he has to choose where his allegiance lies, with God or with his firstborn and long-awaited child. But the grace is this. Even as the family is our first blessing, even as a family might be our first or our strongest experience of sin, we have another member of the family now. In Jesus, we have an elder brother. In Jesus, we have somebody who makes us brothers and sisters, who makes Ezra and me brothers in the same family. Because of Jesus, the curse that we know all too well is reversed. because of Jesus. So even the best things in life, which are not free, even the best things in life are gifts from the greater gift, Jesus, for us. And so I think it's a great day to, again, as a church, just say how blessed we are by you kids, how blessed we are to have a place that serves. The kayak trip had 20 people. The middle school trip had 23 or 24. Wild Kids had about 15 or 16 fifth and sixth graders. And then you add the VBS younger children, and this church provided 167 children with an experience of faith and friendship this summer. Thank you for that. Thank you for that commitment. As we continue to say, from the time you're a baby till you're saying bye-bye to high school, it's a great place to be a kid. So thanks again to Emmy and to Anna and to Adam, also to Samantha and Taylor. Great job. Thanks for bringing us the word, and I'll leave it right there. Amen.
Hi, my name's Anna Goodry, and I am going to be a junior at Thurston High School. I am a junior. My bad. Forgot about that one. Thank you. All right. I wanted to start off by saying that there's no way to sum up all of the amazing events and adventures that we went on during this trip, but Carrie kind of gave us a time limit, so it's going to have to be done. I want to start off by saying when we first heard about this trip, I immediately wanted to go because I love everything that's physically challenging and outdoors. It's awesome. And I play soccer all year, so even if I had anything, I was going to cancel it and come. But thankfully, I didn't have to cancel anything. I wanted two things out of this trip, which was to grow in my faith and to get to know everyone better. And getting to know everyone was amazing because I've grown up with a lot of the girls that went on this trip with me. And I realized that I didn't know them as well as I had thought I knew them. And that was thanks to our half an hour life story times. And you had a half an hour to talk about whatever you wanted and to share whatever you wanted with everyone else. And that was really great getting to know everyone. Growing in faith was a big goal for me though. And at the beginning of this trip, I wasn't really sure what to expect result-wise with this goal. And so I wanted to share a small story about what happened to me. The third night of our actual kayak trip, we stopped to make camp at this awesome place and we hadn't showered all week. And there happened to be this glacier creek there, and we were able to take a bath, which was amazing. We played signs, we talked in British accents, we had time for a nap, which was a luxury for us, and it was hot and it was sunny, and the paddle that day was great because we learned this new game called Contact, which made it just fly by, and it was hours of paddling, but thankfully it went by quickly. And it was shaping up to be this like perfect kayak trip day thing. It was awesome. And after lunch, we had this small surprise. Our two guides told us that we were going to have a solo night, which is when each girl goes off on her own into a specific spot that was within earshot of the next girl. And I would say, on behalf of everyone, that was kind of upsetting because, well, first, we're in the wilderness, we're alone, and it's going to be for hours. And we're in the wilderness in Canada alone, right? That doesn't sound appealing to most people, especially a whole bunch of emotional teenage girls, right? And we were all taken one by one to our camp spots, and this is what happened next in short for me. I was brought to the suite of all campsites, according to Danielle, one of our guides, with a creek close by. I forgot my Bible back at camp. I set up a clothesline. I helped Liz find her way back to camp because she was looking like my grandpa who had dropped his glasses because she had dropped her contact. Carrie brought us dinner. I got my Bible, thankfully, from Carrie. I wrote a letter to myself, I read a random part of the Bible because I needed to pass time. And I remembered that Carly, our guide, had told us to read a Bible verse, which was Psalms 23, and I'm going to read that really quickly to you guys right now. A Psalm of David, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me in all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And after reading that, which was right before I was going to go to bed, it had really comforted me, and it made me feel like happy and that I wasn't alone in the wilderness in Canada. And I actually thought that I had heard footsteps over the small roar of my little creek nearby, but I just told myself that it was Jesus coming to check up on me. And even though that may have been a little white lie, it made me feel happy and comforted, so I was okay with that, right? That was the last thing I remember before I fell asleep. And I woke up twice that night. Once I woke up and it was dark, and I felt like God was still with me, and I was happy, and I had prayed for everyone else, and that they were having a good night, and I had fallen back asleep. And then I woke up a second time, and this time was different, because I was lying on my side, and a few hours earlier, when it was daylight, I knew that there was this tree right there, and I could see this tree with all of its details, and I was confused because everything else around it was pitch black except for this tree who had light shining on it. And I looked up to see where the light was coming from, which was in between two trees and a bunch of branches was this just small circle of bright light. And I had figured out that it was the moon, but my heart took it as a sign. And it was God telling me that on that night, alone in Canada in the wilderness, I wasn't actually alone, and that he was there for me every second of every day. And it was him anointing my head with oil so that my cup would overflow, and goodness and love will follow me in all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it's hard to explain the dramatic extent of that solo night for me and my relationship with God, but I'm thankful that it happened and that I can say that I met both of my goals with that like epiphany moment. And I've learned so much from this trip, and I think that all the girls in future days should go on this trip because it's really important and it's really a great experience, and we wouldn't have done it without our sponsors. And thank you for giving me this trip. Your turn. Yes.
Hi, my name is Emmy Partridge. I'm going to be a freshman at the Oregon Institute of Technology, and this summer I got the wonderful privilege of being able to go on the Beyond Malibu kayaking trip. Unlike Anna, I was super hesitant to go on this trip. I would be thrown out of my comfort zone. I am not an outdoorsy person. But yet, when Carrie said that there was one spot left for the girls' trip, I immediately said yes. And that was one of the best decisions I have ever made. I want to start off by saying thank you from the bottom of my heart to everyone who helped sponsor our summer trips. There are so many stories that I would love to tell, and so many memories that can be shared. But unfortunately, Carrie slapped this time limit on me, and I could literally talk about this trip all day. I lost all sense of time when we were in Canada. I lost the use of my cell phone, being able to take a shower, and the privilege of using a toilet. But within that, I gained 11 amazing friends. So much appreciation for the little things in life. And I grew in ways that I never imagined. But to get to the point, there was one night on this trip that pretty much sums everything up. It was when I received the greatest gift God could have ever given me, all in what I imagined to be about 15 hours. Okay, bear with me if I start to cry. I've struggled for a long time with having an overactive mind. I truly believe that I just never stop thinking. It gets to the point where I start overanalyzing and overworrying about every single detail of every single detail of a situation. As a result, I easily bring anxiety and panic upon myself. It gets so bad that on the first day, my anxiety made me physically sick, which in turn brought on more anxiety. It seems to be one long cycle that never ends. I have never experienced more anxiety than when our guides told us that we were going to have to spend the night alone. Everyone else was going to be within earshot, but far enough away so that we couldn't see one another. I could feel the anxiety slowly creeping its way into my mind, even though I was trying so hard to stay calm. When I was walked back into my own spot in the woods, after setting out my sleeping bag and accepting the fact that I'm on my own, apart from reading the Bible and writing notes, I was forced to think, which is the exact opposite of what I wanted to do, afraid that the vicious anxiety cycle would start up again. But this time it was different. I looked around at where I was, remembered the extraordinary scenery I got to see while I was paddling, and I thought to myself, how can you look at a place like this and not believe that there is a God? It gave me such reassurance that God was with me, surrounding me, and never letting me go. And because of that, for the first time in my life, I learned how to let go. With God holding on to me, I no longer had to hold on to my negative thoughts, my concerns, and my anxieties. With that, finally came peace. It was as if God reached down and took away all my problems. I've always heard this saying, God works in mysterious ways, but I never knew the true meaning of that phrase until that night. I find it so ironic that in the middle of the woods, all by myself, in a situation that has given me the most anxiety I've ever felt, I received peace of mind. The best part was when I realized that the scenario I had created in my mind wasn't even close to what I actually experienced. I learned that there's no reason for me to worry about things that shouldn't matter. Anxiety does nothing but break me down, but I'm blessed to have a God who is always there to fill me back up. I also learned that God made me a lot stronger than I give myself credit for. Throughout this trip, I continuously proved to myself that I can do a lot more than I thought I could. This helped me to realize that there is no limit to God's power, and the only thing stopping me from accomplishing anything is me. My anxiety used to control me and the decisions I made, but I can do all things through God who gives me strength. Letting go of myself and letting God take over gave me peace, and it is something that I will be forever grateful for. I have never had such an emotionally draining, physically exhausting, wears you down, builds you up, incredible, amazing experience. I know I've said a couple times coming back from Washington Family Ranch or from a mission trip that my life has been changed, but this trip blows all others out of the water. My life wasn't changed this time. I was. My life is the same. I have the same family, the same friends, the same routines. But who I am, I've changed. I came home a little beat up with 77 bug bites and 28 bruises, but with strength and faith and a peaceful mind. This couldn't have happened at a better time, because since I'm leaving for college, going into the unknown, just like being taken back into the woods for solo night, I know that God knows where I am supposed to be, and there's no need for anxiety. The simplest yet greatest lesson was learned. Free your mind, and the peace of God will follow. Thank you so much.